You are now listening to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. Chill!
Hello, everybody. This is your boy, Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman of YPG. And this is welcome to another new episode of Gentleman Like the Podcast. Hope all is well. Oh, that's how I got my special guest. Yo, I got my bros from YPG in the building. Yes, we got Mr. Aaron Sam back on the show. But you also got my other bro, who is a DJ. We're going to talk about, you know, our timeline. And also, we got a new project coming up that we're going to talk about as well. So y'all already know what to do. Sit back, relax, and I'll be right back.
Hey, this is your girl, Vanna B, and you're kicking it and listening to my boy on Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is your boy, Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gentleman, and I am the host of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. And this commercial break is brought to you by Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. On Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, we interview many guests about their life journey, pretty much where they come from and where they at now. Also, promoting their brands or whatever they're doing at the time they come on the show. We also have the host talk about personal stories about himself and everything that he's been through. And also, we have fun conversation about anything music, anything old school, relationships, wrestling, and many more. And y'all can tune in to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast every Sundays at 12 a.m. We are also on every Thursdays at 12 a.m. for Spin-Off Series Thursdays, where we have all of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast Spin-Off Series all in one day, where we have a conversation about music podcasts every first Thursday at 12 a.m. The old school show with myself and the star Roddy Rod every fourth Thursday at 12 a.m. And we have Date Night Talk Podcast with myself and Miss Vanna B every second and third Thursday at 12 a.m. And y'all can tune in to Mr. Gentleman Like That Podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, the Pods, and many more. Or y'all can check it out on the official website of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, www.realmrgentlemanlifestylepodcast.com, www.realmrgentlemanlifestylepodcast.com. And tune in every Sundays and Thursdays at 12 a.m. for Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in to this commercial break of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. Back to your regularly scheduled program. Cheer!
This is Aaron Sands, and you are now listening to the Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. And at this time, I got my special guest. You know, I got my brothers. You know, one of them, you know, he's been on the show once, twice. You know, he back again. You know, Mr. Aaron Sands. And then we got, you know, we got one of the DJ for YBG. One half of YBG Sound, DJ Retro.
Welcome yeah, to the, yeah, yeah. What up? What's going on?
Yeah. Welcome to the show, bro.
Yeah, glad to have you on, man.
It's good. It's good to be back again. About to become the wrestling analyst, relationship analyst,
pretty much, son.
All that good stuff. Don't forget, get it.
You will be on when we do the SummerSlam episode. And also, I'm going to give a shout out to, you know, DJ No Request and DJ Retro for killing the barbecue this past Saturday, yo. You know, y'all be killing, y'all doing y'all thing. Keep it up, yo.
I appreciate it, man. Ready though.
All right, so let's get to the interview.
Let's get it.
All right, so, you know, we were part of the team called, you know, the Blazer Clique. I know, Roddy, you wasn't here yet. So, you know, Blazer, you want to step back, your Blazer Glory. So, you wasn't here yet. But, you know, Rondell, tell us, you can tell us, like, what you remember from Blazer Glory.
All right, so you got to forgive my memory a little bit. It has been a little minute. It's been my former life. But before the promoting, the photography, wrestling analyst, I was a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. I had a couple bars here or there, you know? So that was my thing. I usually used to write poetry or whatever, but I was like, all right, let's see if we can mix it into, you know, a little couple bars here or there. And it turned out to be a really big thing, you know? Between that, my boy Germs, DJ No Request, and the homie Ken, we end up creating something called Blaze of Glory. That was a group, that was our team, you know?
Yeah, that was like around 2004. We thought of that. You know, shout out to Jody, he was also a part of the team.
That's a fact. Shout out to the homie Jody, bro. What's good?
Yeah, he's the one that brought up the name, which was the name at the time was Cliff Song Blaze of Glory off the, you know, Neptune Presents the Clones.
Yeah, I like the song actually. It reminds me more of like the B side of a track, you know what I'm saying? You always gotta give respect to like B side tracks, you know, it always helps.
Yeah, true. But you know, but then, you know, it was just us four, but then we felt like something was missing. So one day we went to the race to shout out to Miss Kambali. She came to you, me and Jerry, she was like, you know, yo, y'all seem like some talented brothers. And you're like, I'm gonna need y'all to come to the writing center on a Friday and check out, you know, what we do. Cause you know, they have our like open mics. And you know,
And let me get into that though. Like the open mics, like I wrote bars, but I wasn't the best presenter. Like you gotta understand, before I was out there being like, you know, more open with people, open with speaking to people and everything, I was shy as shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get to that real quick. You know, like, I wasn't really big on, like, doing presentations and rapping in public and everything. I always did that, like, in the privacy of my own room or with the bros or whatever, but not in terms of not watching other people watch me do my thing and get critiqued at the same time. So it was something crazy there, you know? But when she presented the opportunity for us to go to the writing center, honing our craft, be able to do this out in public, you know, so it told me, I was like, you know what, worst case scenario, nobody ever hears you, you know what I'm saying? Nobody ever hears, you know, your talent. That way you won't be able to improve on what you're doing on top of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody will be able to prove if you don't know what's going, if you don't know how to fix it. So I was like,
I feel you, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so for me, I'm like, you know, I'm with it. I'm good with it. And me and Jerms talking about it, he was with it, and then, yeah, you know, it worked out.
So, you know, that day we went to the writing center, you know, we see some of the talented people, but then we seen this one standout dude, yo. This one dude who stands out, yo. This young dude, he was young at the time. You know, some people know him as Alvin, some people know him as Malik, but his rapping name is Mally Mel. So we heard it for the first time at the writing center, you know, rapping, freestyling.
This dude was a funny, that's a funny dude. You had him on your show too. A couple episodes ago.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yo, check out episode 10. He told his half of the story about what happened when he joined on Blaze of Glory. So listen to that episode 10. But tell her how he joined that day.
Alright, so what happened was, we was at the Brown Chocolate Cafe. They had the open mic nights, you know what I'm saying? So after my ninth period class that I always cut, I always tend to, like, you know, swing over there, you know? So I caught some CDs that day, and so it told me, like, yo, like, I was going back and forth, because at 2004, you know, I had to get home at a certain time, you know what I'm saying?
My parents
were a little strict, so I can't, like, really hang out like I would like. So it told me, you know what, fuck curfew, you know, it'll be curse here, right?
I don't care, we're keeping it raw.
I was like, fuck curfew, you know what I'm saying? So let me go and hit this Brown Chocolate Cafe, see what the shit is about. I've been hearing a lot about it, all on the announcements or whatever. You know, so I was like, I bet, let's go hit it. So, caught some CDs, we hit the Brown Chocolate Cafe. It's not there no more, but it used to be on Franklin on Fulton.
Yeah, Brown Chocolate Cafe.
Yeah, man, it was an amazing spot. A lot of talent came out of there. So, I was there, I was chilling in the back and everything, you know, I had a little Arizona or whatever. Had my little book out, because I used to write or whatever like that, you know, and I seen people come up. And I'm like, all right, watch people come up. Some did good, some didn't. You know, And then Alvin came up, and when he came up, at first I was like, all right, I've seen him in the writing center a couple times before. He kind of nice. You know, let me see what he got. Now, when he performed, I never really told anybody this, and I think this is the first time Ken's hearing this now, and you too, Roddy. When I saw him perform, it kind of made me want to be like, all right, I can confirm it now, you know? Mm. Like, this is something I could, if he could do it, I could probably get up there and do what I got to do and kill it, you know what I'm saying? So I was still shy after that, but I felt like, all right, this gave me a little bit of inspiration, you know? And it kind of channels to y'all song with Alvin, Cigarette Ashes. You know, he said something on the track talking about a little spark could turn up a great flame.
Yeah. Oh, check out episode 1 on the new Sled on site, Hype Friday. You can hear that song on there. Yeah, could do.
Shameless plugs I'm throwing out all day. So, you know, a little spark could turn into a great flame. So I felt like I could do that, you know. But then something else came up into my mind. I'm like, yo, let's sign him. And not sign him. We ain't had a label or nothing, but let's get him on the team, you know?
Yeah.
Because Germ's rapping, I'm rapping, Ken's singing, you know. We could get another person on the squad to rap as well. Because, one more rapper ain't going to hurt, you know. And he nice. So I'm like, fuck it, let's go get him, you know. So that's what it was. I came up to him, I approached him. I was like, yo, you know, I know you nice and everything, and I know you're doing your own solo thing and everything like that, but come rock with us and everything, you know? And the caveat that was with that was that he was already in a special type of class, the Academy of Finance, and I was there too. So it was easier for me to reach out to him and try to get him onto the team and everything like that. So it really helped out really, really lovely.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and this is my first time y'all hearing this too, including Alvin. He gonna listen to this episode. I wanna thank you for pushing me, you know, to actually get my voice out there. Cause you know I was shy too, and I didn't think I had a voice, but he helped me push my voice out there though. So I wanna shout out to Alvin for that.
It's just about like, you know, sometimes you get up there, sometimes you're gonna kill it, other times you might not kill it, you know. And he took all of that shit in stride. You know what I'm saying? Like. And I don't want to just come off as like a dissonant because I'm all about love. I never seen somebody take, sometimes he didn't kill it, you know what I'm saying? But I never seen somebody take failure the way he took it, you know what I'm saying? Because that way he used it as fuel to turn around and make the next thing successful, you know what I'm saying? So I
Alvin Drop is very unmatched, I've seen over the
definitely
years.
And he
will drop 30 songs and a few make the mixtapes, and then he'll just be like, no, I'm still going.
Yeah.
He never gave up, and that's why I appreciated it about him. That's why I had to add him. To get him.
Yeah, well, don't worry. He do got some new music from, he confirmed it on my episode, but we're going to get back to this interview. So let's fast forward a bit. We're going to fast forward to 2007. You know, so 2007, you know, this boy approached us. We didn't know what he was about. So he approached us, and he said, well, yo, he wanna be in a part of the team too. I was like, all right, cool. So he auditioned and he killed it. And we got this boy right here, Roddy Rod, aka DJ Retro. You gonna tell your story now. Tell your story about how you joined.
I met them at the info center in Times Square. And I had an audition for Raheem Devon. You know, I did my little audition. And straight from there, it was confirmed. They said, welcome to the team or whatever. I felt all love and joy. And ever since then, you know, I started to dig a more soul. I started to dig a Brighton. You know, then we started to make it happen. We started to hang out. We started to start doing our creative. Started talking about just writing and going out and thinking of ideas all the time.
Yeah.
Let me just jump in on this one real quick, though. I ain't gonna hold you, and I always tell y'all this shit. And y'all look at me crazy about this, though.
I didn't know what's coming.
Like, even before he joined up with the team, I always thought that was Ken's brother.
Oh, boy.
Well, he wasn't the only one.
Yeah,
almost like, everybody that was in the big cow room.
Like,
apparently, a lot of people who said, I got to tell you, let me get this story real quick. Apparently, somebody came to me, yo, Ken, do you got a brother? I was like, no. Why? He's like, the boy that looks just like you. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I never met Roger, you know, until like later. So one day, you know, Ricky, who was also part of the team at one point, you know, he said, yo, this guy, this is Roddy, this is your brother. I'm like, but, you know, but.
And then we gave each other a pound or whatever, I remember.
Yeah. Real quick, why Ricky tried to look like he was trying to, like, reunite siblings and shit? Like, what the? Like, this is your brother. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I would know. Like, nah.
Back, I would know. But, you know, shout out to Ricky, though, because if it wasn't for him, I would never met Roddy. He, like, one of my best friends to this day. So, you know, shout out to Roddy, you know.
Yeah, man.
So, shout out to Ricky, too, for that, you know. So, also in 2007, you know, we felt like we needed a change. And, you know, Blaze of Glory wasn't feeling it no more. So we decided to make a change and change the name to Blaze Up Click.
All right. With the Blaze Up Click situation, I always feel, right, and I feel like this is good with business and in personal.
Yeah.
I feel like at least every 5 to 7 years, you got to switch up your brand.
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
You know, you want to keep things fresh. I mean, you still going to be you as a person, but you always want to, like, switch up your brand. Not even your whole brand. But just like your name, because you want to keep things fresh. You want to keep things new.
It's a part of evolving, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You shed your skin to grow a new body, you know, just like a butterfly.
Yeah.
You know, so with the Blaze Up Click, that I would say was our, like, cocoon stage. And I'm not going to say that as, like, a bad thing. It's just that we got tired of being caterpillars at a certain point.
True.
Graduating, we left high school and everything, graduating high school and everything, getting into the college years. We start feeling ourselves not only as boys, but as men, you know? As young men, I should say.
And, you know, not only that, you know, my original name was Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Soul Star. So around 2009, I changed my name to Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gentleman. Because, you know, I felt like it started to be like a growing up stage, you know? Yeah, like I said, like you said, like the caterpillar stage. You were the caterpillar. My caterpillar stage was Ken. To the cocoon, Mr. Soul Star. To a man, you know? With the gentleman.
Yeah.
Like you changed your name too, you know.
Yeah, man. This shit was crazy. So I'm more, like, quick story real quick. I was gonna take a couple seconds of your time. Like, I lost my hat in like 11th grade in Spanish class.
Oh god.
Weirdest shit. Right? I was trying to come up with a name. Came with like 5 names. All of them was whack. I was gonna say fuck it, I'm gonna call myself Rondell. And if niggas don't like it, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? This guy Ken comes up to me talking about, oh, I got a perfect name for you, yo. I'm like, all right, what? I lost my hat, but what?
All right, it's Ron Dizzle.
Dizzle.
Yo, I looked at him like,
yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, bro, I came up with the name.
I looked at him like he had like 5 eyeballs on his head. I'm like, yo, that gotta be the dumbest shit I heard all week. I don't even want you to say that shit no more, bro. So about 2 weeks later,
wow,
I thought about it. I gave it like a lot of thought, and I'm like, yo, that shit sound like a dope idea. I don't know why I said it was a dope idea. I just felt like at the time it was dope, but I never said it was whack since.
Oh.
Until I changed my name to Aaron Sanders. That's the butterfly stage.
Yeah.
But back to the cocoon stage with Blaze Up Click, we was getting more in tune with our own sound.
Yeah.
I felt. And once we had a sense of our sound, we was just able to, like, come up with our own shit.
Yeah. But, you know, even though we were the music group, we haven't came up with no songs. We came up with other brands, you know, Blaze Up Street Trick, but we can't really talk about. Blaze Up TV, you know, we came up with a YouTube show called Blaze Up TV, which it started off small, but it started becoming slowly.
And then I downloaded this mastering program to make beats.
Oh, you're right.
I said, you know, we a group, we need some type of beats. And then I made this one great beat, kind of generic, very slow, and that is what I'ma start today.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing I'ma start first. This was like months before I downloaded the program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know what? This is a good chorus, this is a good hook. I draw this man Aaron Sands on the song.
Originally.
Sidebar, I heard the beat and I'm like, bro, really? It's the beat. Mind you, I had a sense of making beats, but I didn't really get into my zone of making beats yet. But I heard it, I was like, all right, let me see if I can put something together. And I put up a quick 16 and it worked out, you know? Germs was on it, right?
Not that point.
No, not yet. It was just y'all two.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So with the program, like, we just started, like, that was when we started to, like, rehearse in my basement. Started to come over, and then, like, every other week I was just, like, playing around the program, making beats.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite was, also Ken's favorite, Are You Ready For Me, beat.
Oh, man. Even though we didn't even release that song, we never got it recorded. And we never got that song recorded, but that song was so fire, though. I think that was the only two beats I made one more beat.
Fantasy. Oh, Fantasy's Reality was a dirt beat.
Yeah.
And then Rondell started taking over the beat maker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was doing research on, like, beat programs, and I got to give a shout out to the great folks at Ableton. That's, like, a German producing company that has a beat program that people still use till this day. I kind of Adobe Photoshopped the whole situation and got the free trial, and it's renewed the free trial every year to keep up with, like, you know, keep up with it. And with that, I kind of made, I think I made over 50 beats.
You did, yeah.
Off
did.
That.
50?
He did, about 50.
I don't remember it was that much.
Wow. Yeah, he did, but the number was released.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of
stuff. Not to us.
Not to us, though. But there was a situation that I had with another fellow artist, Kazi, where he challenged me to make 10 beats in 3 nights, in 3 days.
Oh, yeah, I remember that challenge.
So I was like, fuck it, you got it. And it was a weekend. It just happened to be a weekend. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to stay home. I'm not coming to outside. I'm not chilling at Roddy's basement. Because at the time, Roddy's basement was the spot.
Oh, yeah.
But Roddy's basement over Ken's stoop, that was the spot.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what I'm saying?
It was one or the other.
Yeah.
One or the other. So
I was like, I'm not going to neither. I'm going to chill in the crib, make 10 beats, 72 hours straight, and that's all I did. And one of the beats was actually made from walking to college, you know. If you could find that and put that on the show, that dope. I appreciate it.
I wonder if he's still doing it.
I don't know, but you know, if you're out there, you should definitely come on the show. We'll definitely talk about it.
Yeah.
With that, before the whole marathon, I used to make beats with a team and everything. So I rapped and I made beats. So it was like a double threat situation. And that worked out very well for the team.
That's a good.
And, you know, my role in Blaze Up Click was more of, you know, chorus. Me and Roddy did the chorus. Usually the chorus guys sing. Sometimes rap. Made beats every here and there. But, you know, none of my beats were never, you know, put out. But, yeah. And of course, marketing and all that good shit.
So it worked out for the benefit for the whole team. Everybody played a role. We were like basically Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man. Four to eight limbs, and every limb is working. Everybody on the team had a role. Nobody was idle, you know?
It was one person that was idle, but he wanted to do something. Tyler.
Yeah, but I mean, that's another story.
That's another story. But you know, it one particular song that wasn't ours. Well, one particular beat that wasn't ours, but the song became a hit. Shout out to, you know, DJ Catchin, you know, for the Teddy Overload song.
Yeah, that's like one. I feel like that had to be, like, out of all the beats we worked on and everything, that had to be one most underrated beats ever.
Yeah, it was.
You know. Because that actually, like, that one song got us out to, like, different shows, even got us on 105, you know. And the whole 105 situation was weird because of the fact that, you know, Ken texted me talking about, oh, Teddy Overload played on 105.
All right, I got to tell a story about this. All right, so one day, you know, 105 had, like, a thing on Sunday nights where they had, like, unsigned artists played on the show. So they said, all you gotta do is email them, submit your song on Power 105 website, and then boom. So, you know, I did it. I did it like probably twice or three times. I didn't think it would happen. So I like whatever. I'll just put it in just in case, see what happened. One day I was at work, you know, do overnight, and next thing you know, somebody hit me like, yo, kid, we heard you on the radio, Teddy Overload. I'm like, yeah, all right. Then another person hit me like, yo, I heard you on the radio. I'm like, yeah, all right. But then more people came up about it. I didn't hear it, but other people heard it. And I was just like, yo, And I was like, wow. So I told the team, like, yo, I heard we was on the radio. And
I felt like that was one of the mixed things, you know, like the fact that we were on the radio, but we wasn't around to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, damn, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, it was a great situation. So I would tell a lot of other people, like, aspiring to get into music and everything, submit your shit. I know it's a different time than it is now with the advent of social media and everything, where you could have submit everything on, like, Facebook, SoundCloud, right, things like that. But if you have a radio situation where you have the opportunity, like the Hot 97 Who's Next situation, you can sit there and push your stuff out there. Like, do that, you know, because you never know, bro. You never know.
Nah. But let's tell the story how Teddy Overlook was creative. So this, I don't think you ever heard the story. I'm not sure you heard the story, Roddy, but this is how Teddy Overlook was creative. Like, the term, well, Squirrel came up with the name Teddy. Out of random. Squirrel came up with the name Teddy out of random. Yeah, he likes the Teddy Teddy. But then it became like a group thing to make it edit about females. You know, about females, beautiful, yeah, females, bad. But the song came together was me, Rondell, and John. We was on Eastern Parkway. We're just walking regular. We walk in. Rondell came out of nowhere and said, Teddy Overlook.
That's not how it sounds.
Well, do how it sounds.
Not how it sounds. Jerms was rapping, right? He had like about 80 bars that day. I don't know where he got the 80 bars, but he just happened to have it.
I would make it a random beat.
You know? So I was hearing him making random bars. I was like, all right, Teddy,
me and Jerms turned our heads and like, wait, what?
Because nobody knew I could sing. And I really can't, though. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, but at that moment I could. So I was like, fuck it, let's do it. So I just hit another Teddy Overlook. And we just kept doing that for about 7 to 8 blocks.
Even literally, Jerry rapping, he keeps saying Teddy Overlook. I didn't make it a random beat. And yeah, that's how it started. I guess we came to the team about it. Like that.
We talked about it over the phone.
Yeah, and then Rayshawn sent us like 8 beats. Rayshawn sent us the 8 beats. And,
I don't remember if it was 8. I thought it was like 3.
It was the whole CD. I remember the whole CD.
He made a mixtape.
He made like a whole CD. And Teddy
Overlook. And he was hyped that we picked one.
Yeah.
Oh, that beat.
And it was weird because that beat was wild intentional.
It was.
Because the same thing that happened when we heard that beat was the same thing that happened on Eastern Parkway. Jerms was spitting 60 bars for the whole song. And I just kept saying, Teddy Overlook.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, that's what happened. And I was like, all right, we're just going to make a song out of it.
Yeah.
We made the song. Everybody had wild, extensive verses.
For real. It was two versions of the song, too.
Yeah. Jerms had his version for the first verse. And then the more known version was Alvin's verse. And he had his verse on that one. I still feel Jerms' verse was the funniest.
It was, yeah.
Alvin's was more lyrical.
And more radio.
Radio ready.
Radio, yeah.
So it was good. I had all of 6 bars on the whole song.
And me and Roddy, my original version on Jerms' version was more dirtier than I had to clean it up on for the radio version. So.
And that's the only song in the history of like Blaze of Glory and or Blaze of Click that I did the chorus.
That's the truth.
I never did the chorus ever to another song again.
That's the truth.
Like, if you want to talk about the choruses, Yatsu, you and you, Roddy, was like the chorus kings.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, definitely. But if y'all want to hear Teddy Overlook, listen to Unsigned Hype, episode 5. It's the last song. The last song on the episode. In case if y'all heard the episode, then y'all probably heard it. Y'all didn't then hear it. So, before we promote this, and in between, you know, doing music, we used to have this yearly, at the time, we had a yearly event called the Summer Bashment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of where the stuff stole us becoming promoters.
This is the part of the story, by the way, where we start to poke out the cocoon.
Yeah.
Proceed.
Yeah. So, you know, Summer Bashment Part 1. So, let's talk about our experience for the first one. Like, I ain't gonna front. For the very first week, I was nervous, you know.
Cause I didn't know how it would go.
It was very unpredictable. For our first main event, you know.
I felt like at the time, I was nervous about it because we did a lot of planning. A lot of planning and a lot of everything, you know.
First party as a collective we ever drew. First party of my life I ever drew. So I didn't know how it was turned out at that point.
Yeah. We really had no party experience. At the same time, I was going through personal issues on that first one. And I was like, when I showed up, you know, I was like, all right, let's just go do this.
I was like,
fuck it. Whatever happened, happened. You know, let's just go do this. Let's just knock it out, you know? And unbeknownst to us, we definitely did that.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was a success. It was a major success, but it was a success.
Yeah, we had a lot of people come out to that. It wasn't like, it was crazy. Not as crazy as the second one we will get to. But it was pretty crazy.
I mean, it was some drama, but it was some drama. But
so we were younger, we were drinking, and then we gave drinks to everybody. So.
Jay, people who were younger than 21, and that was our fault for that.
That was a little crazy. We didn't really have much. Like I said before, we didn't have much experience throwing parties, and we threw this in the basement. That was the spot.
Yeah,
I had my cousin cook for us.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Who was DJing?
He was the DJ No Request Yet. He was the DJ Ray. He was DJ Ray at the time.
Yeah.
Emperor. And DJ Catching, and I think that's it. It was only three DJs at the time.
Shout out, matter of fact, real quick. We gotta talk about DJ Caution real quick. Shout out to that man real quick. He's doing a lot of big things on the West Coast out in Phoenix. If you're in the Phoenix area and you're listening to this, first of all, thank you for listening all the way to Phoenix. One.
Exactly.
Two, if you're in the Phoenix area, hit up any party DJ Caution is doing. He's doing an amazing job right now.
Yeah, he's killing out there, man. You keep doing your thing, bro.
If you're ever in the New York area, bro, come chop it up. We definitely got a couple events. You already know.
We get to that later. But
my bro since ninth grade, bro.
Facts.
All
right. So, you know, a year later, we wanted to do it again. So we
and came. The anticipation was sort of there.
Yeah, everybody was asking about, we have another one. We're going to have another Bashmate.
People who didn't make it for the first one for whatever reason was also asking.
Yeah, so, you know, we had the craziest Summer Bashment Part 2.
All right.
Oh, man.
So here's the thing with Summer Bashment Part 2.
Sure.
That was also pinned as my birthday party. Reason why it was my birthday party was because
it landed on the day before your birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, we gonna throw the bashment and the birthday party at the same time. When I tell you, it had to be about 120 people up in that basement.
Goodness,
shit was a sweatbox, boy.
It was crazy.
We had one fan, and that was like the window fans that you pop in the window.
I had the AC on, but the AC, the way it is, it's like it just flowing in one direction. It can't flow through the whole room.
It was crazy. Yeah. Everybody was there for it.
People was outside, and people was making noise. We couldn't do a lot.
Yeah, I never told nobody this, or people probably noticed. I would have stopped that night.
Ken was the thought of the night.
if you were dating Ken at the time, I apologize in advance.
I apologize for the man. I was single. I was single, so I was good. But I was stopped that night.
I was stopped before it even invented.
Let's say that.
Funny story about that. So I did it. We ran out of liquor at that time.
Yeah.
We ran out of bottles. So there was no bottles. Everybody was lit though, talking about where's the drinks at. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So we went down.
How the fuck we get out of bottles after like an hour or two though?
Yeah, we ran out.
That was crazy.
It was it.
We ran out. Yeah.
That was it.
An hour or two. I was like, yo, the bartender's pouring out a lot.
Yeah, shout out to the bartenders that night too.
So
sure.
We went to me, Alvin went down to the neighboring liquor store and everything. Got like about four or five more bottles.
Yeah.
Came back and we had the lights on. So we had red lights, blue lights, and green lights.
Apparently, and I don't know how this happened, but we had Bloods and Chris at the party.
At the same time.
One of them like, yo, I'm under the red light. No, yo, I'm under the blue light. And you look at this like,
I'm like, oh my.
What is going on?
And everybody was in their own section. Luckily, thank God, nothing popped off that night.
I don't know why it was the idea for my family to put those red lights in the lamp.
Also, nobody knew what happened to Jern. Apparently, Jern was drunk, so I had to take over as DJ for like 10 minutes.
To this day, nobody knew what happened to Jerm.
And he said, Emperor, something happened with Emperor that night.
Emperor speak of blues, so he couldn't even DJ. He was tight. He's a fuck this.
A lot happened that night.
It was a fight over birthday cake.
Yeah, a word.
I'm not naming names.
Yeah, we're not naming names.
But there was a big fight over birthday cake, and it was crazy. I think that right there ended the party.
Yeah.
That right there.
Then there was more drama outside the party, where we ain't gonna name no names, but.
I think cops was called.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
A lot happened that night, but at the same time, it was a memorable night.
Yeah, we had over about 100, 120 people pop through in that base, about 80 of them. I think we broke like at least 3 fire codes.
Yeah.
But then
of course we stopped doing bashing for a couple years. We'll get to the third one.
I said fuck this, no more of my house.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the third one, but they ain't talk about the third one yet though. So you know, from then, you know, it's 2011, you know, December 2011, you know, we met a promoter. That year 2011, we met a promoter, you know, by the name of NYC Compton. You know, he gave us the opportunity to start promoting parties. We used to come out and support his party, and then...
I'm going to stop you right there, Ken. He didn't give us the opportunity. He gave you the opportunity. He pulled you to the side, and y'all talked business. I was outside chilling, you know, vibing. And then you put me on to the promotion, and I thank you for that, you know?
Okay.
A lot of times we talk about, like, kind of putting us on and everything. But I really want to set the record straight on that. He put you on. You was out there doing your thing and everything. We was out there hitting the parties like crazy too. You know what I'm saying? So it was pretty
big. Tobago.
You were doing that since Club Tobago. RIP to that.
I mean, we were going to a lot of parties. And at that time, I didn't even know I was never at that time.
Boulevard. I forgot what those.
Boulevard, Tobago, Imperial, Rebel. And then ever since Rebel, we became... Racially Brevidence at Rebel, you know. But like I said, he did put me on, but I do go say us, because we came as a team. You know,
Rebel was the best, yo. They had so many chicks in there.
Oh, we're going to talk about that right now.
Pages, everything.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Recipe to Rebel, though.
We talking about that now?
Yeah, we on that now, yeah.
I got a quick story about Rebel. It was one night I was down there, right? And the craziest shit happened. They asked ladies to get in the cages or whatever and do what they got to do, right? Now, I could have sworn I heard they say one lady at a time. Why I look up, there's like 6-7 ladies in one cage, no bigger than like 10 square feet wide or whatever. And they on top of each other, handstanding and everything. That probably was
your highlight?
One of the highlights, like top 3 highlights.
Yeah, I mean.
I got a picture of that somewhere on my Instagram.
Yeah, Rebel was crazy, man. Like I said, shout out to NYC Compton for really putting us on, though.
Yeah, for the opportunities.
I mean, if it wasn't for him, then we wouldn't be promoting.
Yeah.
You know, at all. And to this day, we do promote to this day. Even though things fell out with us in comp, but I do appreciate him to this day.
Yeah, for like giving us a lot of opportunities and everything like that, because now we are where we are now and everything, yeah. So... It really did start. It started with the bashment, to be honest with you, but it propelled with Compton. So I do want to thank him for that, though.
Yeah, you know, Rebel, Osgon, every special event, I thank you for that. But then, you know, after the fallout, we had to think of another plan. Like, but dang, what are we gonna do after this? After the fallout, because everybody thought, YPG is done. Oh, by the way, I named with YPG. Album 2011, Young Premier Gentleman.
But this is the part I like to call the butterfly phase.
Yeah. So after Octagon, when we did Rebel with me, the Octagon, we wondering to ourselves, yo, what we gonna do next? And then RPG done. Everybody say RPG done. Then what to do next? So we didn't give up. We started shopping for new spots, and we had a deal with 760. And we didn't like it.
There's a lot of things I didn't say out that I didn't like in these stretches of time.
The fact
that y'all don't got hookah there.
Oh yeah,
is some bullshit. Right?
And,
I'm sorry.
And the way y'all charge mad money for no reason.
Like that's ridiculous. This is 2019 going on 2020. You mean to tell me a spot in New York City don't have a tobacco license to make hookah?
Exactly.
Like, come on, bro. That was out for me. That was a one and done.
Same here. And I mean, You went through 760 a couple of times, but I just wasn't feeling the vibe, yo, at all.
No, I like the vibe. They just charged too much for a Blue Long Island and didn't have no hookah.
Nah, I mean, I didn't like the vibe. I didn't like the vibe too much for 760. I mean, yeah, it felt like, you know, a rebel situation, but I mean, honestly, I didn't want that situation. I didn't want that feel again. I want a kind of different feel.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you mean.
So
I didn't know it should be at that point.
So yeah. then we had an opportunity at Taj. At the time, you know, at the time we went to Taj before we started promoting there. I didn't like Taj either at all at the time I went. Remember, we went to for your sister's birthday. Yeah. That was my cousin's birthday. I didn't like it at the time. But at the time with a dude named I think Declan, right? Declan.
We had an interview with a man named Declan, yeah, regarding the spots regarding the Saturday night spot at Taj. We let him know what we did prior at our prior spots at Rebel, Octagon, things like that. He gave us a deal. We thought about it. And then we kind of kept that in the back pocket because we was also shopping around at other spots, yeah, like Skyrim and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. If we didn't meet up with MTA Rocky to do Taj, we would have definitely did Skyrim.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
We would have definitely did that.
Also,
so,
shout out to Rocky. Yeah, shout out to Rocky. Yeah, because yeah, he definitely gave us the opportunity to give us a shot at Taj. And we were under him for a bit. And then he pretty much like, yo, do y'all thing. And then we
let loose.
We let loose.
Right.
And it got to the point where we were trying to learn, and I'm sorry for using the butterfly reference for this whole episode, but I'm just going to say fuck it and we're going to stick with it. Butterflies, right? At first, they don't learn how to fly immediately because you just come out the cocoon and you're trying to learn yourself. That was us during that first maybe 4, 5, 6 months, right? At that same time, we wasn't making no bread.
Yeah, we was. Our first couple of months. The first night we did.
Yeah.
But then after that, we didn't make no money.
Our list
was trash.
Yes, it was.
Our list
horrible.
Was trash.
People couldn't pay us to get people in the door, and it was rough.
Yeah. They were gonna kick us out. Yeah. They were gonna kick us out. And just then, because we were new. Two, we wasn't making no money. Telling who these new guys, they ain't making no money. But then, I don't know, one random night, we just started killing it.
I think it was the night that they told us they were kicking us out.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that. Yeah, I think that was probably sometime in...
And everybody just showed up?
Sometime in June. May and June, because we started in January. Yeah, it got to be just like in the May and June.
So we got the text like, listen, if y'all don't produce tonight, y'all off the bill. And I was like, shit, we gotta do something.
Yeah, I don't. One random night, a lot of people hit us up by Taj, and they came out.
And I'm like, yo, this is the night. This is either gonna be we do this or we don't do this.
And funny thing, after that night, we got picked up for Studio 21, even though that was trash. And then we got picked up for Catcher.
And that was the thing because they asked us like. Chris AC, shout out to him.
Shout out to Chris AC.
He's one of the hardest working promoters out here. I ain't gonna hold you.
Wow.
Been doing this for a minute. Shout out to him on that.
Shout out to Frankie Banks.
Shout out to Frankie Banks. He's dope. Troy Christoph. They put us on to what we're doing now, to what you see today, really.
Yeah.
So with that, Chris AC told us to come out to Catcher, check it out. If we like it,
yeah,
we'll rock with it. And we was out there and it was crazy.
It was
packed. Upstairs and downstairs.
We got a free bottle the first night we came. And I remember when we first came to Catcher, we killing for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We killing Catcher for the first couple of weeks. Then of course our momentum died down for a long time at Catcher. But the crazy thing is our momentum died down at Catcher, but it started rising at Taj.
Oh yes.
So
remember that.
People started coming out to more of Taj. You know, and we were starting to get our name more out there. So that, I feel like that stretch of time kind of solidified us.
Yeah.
And let people know, like, all right, these guys are for real. We're going to keep moving with these guys. We're going to let them stay on and let them do their thing. And it's been like that literally ever since.
Yeah. To this day, we're literally killing both spots right now and doing special events. So we're basically killing it right now.
And also having other events at the same time we're running, Todd. Shout out to Jolie's, RIP to that.
Oh, yeah.
Skyrim. We did Skyrim Fridays for a few months. And there's a few other events we did probably like right around that same line. But yeah, the Catcher and Todd was usually at like I would say for, you know, our wrestling people, that was like our Monday Night Raw and our Tuesday Night SmackDown Live.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much,
right.
Yeah.
I agree, yo.
But, you know, sidetrack a little bit. People still hitting us, asking us about, when we going to have another Summer Bash name? So, so that same year, we wanted to try again. So we did. So we had the third Summer Bash with three. No, of the year of 2015.
Oh yeah,
15. Oh boy. Boy, we could have left it alone.
You know the saying is, when it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
This was pretty much it.
That was it.
That was it.
Killed the whole thing.
It was a lot of things that went left.
Really.
And it's crazy when you notice it, because back to, like, when we did the first two, we really had no experience going into event planning and actually executing an event. To now, doing the Bashment Part 3, we had all the experience in the world.
Yeah.
Really. Not all the experience in the world, but that's a lot more than we did before.
Yeah.
And for it to come out like that, we really had to sit down and be like, all right, is this part of the brand dead?
Yeah.
You know, and what do we do after this?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of stuff happened that night. One, I didn't have my phone, so that was the biggest.
That was the biggest thing.
That was one of the biggest things.
Two, it would draw more people.
So much, a lot of the crowd didn't come because, in fact, they were too far. We didn't do it right in the basement, so we did another spot, Canarsie, and it was too far for everybody.
Far for everybody.
Yeah, it was rough. So the one thing with that was, we had, like, the thing with our following is that we stretch from everywhere, from Brooklyn to Bronx, from downtown Manhattan to D.C., you know what I'm saying? We our reach is pretty far, and the thing is, we hit up, like, when we did the Summer Bashment 3, it was more Brooklyn-orientated, but a lot of our Bronx crowd wasn't really big on the travel, so that was pretty much of a dub.
Also,
on our part.
Yeah, also we had DJ technical difficulties that night as well, and it is a lot happened that night. The people that came, it wasn't finding the feeling, the crowd drama, of course, drama, of course, it ain't no bad drama, no drama.
It was too much drama.
Too much drama. Yeah, we say no more. We're just like, oh nah, son, we can't. Mm-mm.
So ever since then, we kind of like abandoned the whole Summer Bashment idea.
Yeah,
like even if I bring it up to people. Bring it up to you guys, it's like it looks crazy. Like, y'all look at me crazy. Like, I got five heads on me. I'm like, all right, you know what? Never mind. We good.
Yeah, I don't know. Bashman.
But it was good while it lasted.
It was good while it lasted.
You know, sometimes you just have to try things out.
Yeah, you know.
And ride the wave for as long as it could go.
You know, we live and we learn. That's basically what it was.
That's right.
So the question is now, what are we doing today? I mean, of course, y'all know about the capture. You know, every Friday, you know, 270 Bowery Street, Taj every Saturday, 48 West 21st Street, 1556, taping me at the door. Of course, y'all know that. Blaze Up TV, YPG TV. You know, we have 5 seasons of that. We kind of stopped it for a long while,
but we're kind of looking at channeling a new avenue.
Yeah.
Which brings us to this announcement.
Yeah, I mean, we announced it on the Aaron Sands episode, but we actually gonna put it back in motion. Actually, in motion, you know, the Premier Boy podcast. You know,
you get to hear our thoughts on certain different topics like relationships, life in New York City, work life balance,
growth shit.
Yeah,
grown man shit.
Grown
basically,
man, yeah, everything
from the views of 4 Brooklyn boys that grew up to be 4 Brooklyn men that made good.
Well, you know, so you ain't know, you had Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman, on the show. You had Mr. Aaron Sands on the show.
Facts, gonna get a little raunchy.
You're gonna have DJ Retro on the show.
That's right.
And we're gonna have and every week we have a special guest. So it's gonna be somebody from the team, it could be somebody, any special guest of the guy, but even
who banged with us.
Hell, it could even be a female.
Or female.
So yes, you know, look out for the Premier Boy podcast coming this fall.
Check that out. Keep your ears tuned in for that.
Yeah, but you know, bros, I'm gonna thank y'all for coming on the show.
Yeah, man.
You know, appreciate, you know.
It's a little history lesson we giving out today for free.
That was the plan. That was the plan, and I'm glad that we got broke it down for y'all. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it.
And look forward to the Premier Boys podcast coming out soon.
Yes. So
look forward to more of all of our different ventures.
Yeah, yeah.
Also check out Shot by Sands for all your photography needs.
Oh yeah, drop your plug now. Drop your plug. Both of y'all, drop your plug.
All right, real quick. Check me out on if you're trying to look for a good party in New York City, Cotchage or otherwise for a special event. Check me out at Aaron Sands Premiere. If you're trying to get your photos taken at certain events or even just want to do a private shoot, you can check me out at Shot by Sands. I got reasonable prices for some great pics.
If you're looking for a DJ for a reasonable price, check me out on Roddy_DJ Retro. No DM. Hit me up. If you want to know, let me know what it is. A few weeks, give me a time in advance to get myself situated. You know.
And check out DJ No Request. He's also good as well. That's a bro.
Oh yeah, his name is RJB_DJ No Request. You know, follow him on IG. Book him for your business route. They are both on YBD Sound. They are DJ team. Y'all can book both of them, or y'all can book one of them.
Yeah,
so it don't matter. You know.
Any parting words before we dip out?
Well.
I think we good, man.
All right. Well, thank y'all, and we be right back.
Don't be afraid to be a butterfly either, yo. Stop playing.
Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gemini, with the Gentleman Like the Podcast and the Premier Boy Podcast. And this commercial is brought to you by the Premier Boy Podcast, where four people do, where we talk about anything about the culture. You know, host by myself, Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman, Mr. Aaron Sands from King Talk with Aaron Sands, the Star Roddy Ride, who is also my co-host of the Old School Show, and long live the Chief Mally Bell. And we talk many topics. From politics, music, sex, love, relationships, and many more. And also every topic that's going on in the news right now. Many of our topics are very controversial. And the podcast show might not be for everybody. Because we talk about many explicit content. And yeah. So if y'all decided to check out the show, y'all be warned because y'all might need a drink or two. And yeah, because this podcast is so crazy. I'm shocked that it had not got canceled yet. So if y'all looking forward to listening to the Premier Boy Podcast, check it out on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more. Each and every Wednesday at 12 a.m., you can check out the Premier Boy Podcast with myself, Mr. Aaron Sands, Star Riding Rod, and Long Live the Chief Mally Mal. This is your boy Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gemin. Have a good day and night wherever you're listening to this episode. Now back to the show. Cheer!
Just want to take the time and thank everybody for checking out the new episode. Thank you to my brother, you know, Mr. Aaron Sands and DJ Retro for being on the show. And look out for the Premier Boy Podcast dropping in the fall. So, you know, if you want to be a special guest on my show, you know, you could email me at kenypgent@gmail.com. You know, send me a bio. Or you can also DM me, Ken_TheGentleman. I repeat, Ken, K-E-N. _ Mr. M.R. Gentleman, GENTLEMAN. If y'all look for somewhere to go in New York, you know, in the weekend, we have Remix Friday at Catcher, 217 Battery Street, Best Saturday Party at Taj, 48 West 21st Street between 5th and 6th, say premiere at the door. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Keep supporting Mr. Jim Like That Podcast. Thank you, everyone, and have a good night.
This is DJ Retro, and you are now listening to Mr. Gentleman's Lifestyles Podcast.